This recording, South Africa 37, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Karma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on the first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress with a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman who was with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Karma, Karma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, I'm the third child of 7, born in the southern suburbs in Cape Town. Parents, both of mixed, unknown origins, I'd say. I would think there was some Afrikaner, some German, some Russian, and I think there's definitely Indian, but I can't, I don't know exactly if it's Madagascan Indians or Indians who anyway, it's a mixture. I also believe that some of my maternal grandmother's heritage is on St. Helena Island, which is like also a mixture. I don't know anything definite. It's all up in the air. When I was 7, my mother died, and then my dad was left with 7 children, and we were actually called the one trap family. I don't know if you know the sound of music. Okay, so despite the fact that he had all these children, there were quite a number of women who were interested in him. I think it had something to do with his looks, and also that he kept himself, I think, in his demeanor, sort of a station above other people. You know, he was very down to earth, but I mean, he didn't project himself as someone who wanted to be seen or known for anything, really. He was very sort of just contained, if I can put it that way. We basically lived the life of gypsies. We moved from place to place because with my dad not being able to care for us, and he had a full-time job all day, we were sort of fostered, and we were split up as a family. So one child was here, another one there. So basically 3 kids were in one place and 4 in another. Well, 3 kids were in 3 different homes, and we were fostered by different people. In one case, it was a family which my younger sister was fostered and then eventually adopted by my uncle and aunt, who had no children. And everything turned out very well for her in terms of her life and security and stability and things like it, which all children need, and nurturing. They were very good to her. The rest of us, we sort of just went along with whatever was happening in our lives. We all are completely different in personality because of that. Because we all took to what happened to us, I wouldn't say in our side, because in those days people there was no such thing as a child psychologist to carry you through a trauma. It was a trauma and you just had to deal with it, get on with it, and that's the end of it. I'm not trying to tell you a sad story here, it's just what, and that's what happened. Then eventually, I think it must have been like 13 years later, we were all reunited, except for my younger sister who was adopted by then, but because she was in a very good position in terms of being loved and really cared for, my dad allowed the adoption to go through. It was actually a good thing that he did that.